We are going to finish up this study today about grasping the word. And I don't know if somebody asked me, I said, Pastor, why do you have such a big podium? Because I got lots of stuff. And I thought this would, plus we are known as the table. And I thought it was a great visual. Matter of fact, if I get too used to this, I might start using this. It's kind of a cool deal to have up here. But what I wanted to show you was I brought some resources. I'll refer to some of those, show them to you. This is going to be incredibly practical and also hopefully insightful, and it'll help you reflect more on your time with Jesus and getting to know him through his word. Because I love this quote. I think Rick Warren said this one time, and it's really good. The Bible was meant to transform us, not to inform us so much. It does inform us, but was meant more to transform our lives. And the church said, amen. So I'm hoping that you're being transformed by the Spirit of Christ, by his word. And so as we get into that, we're going to be talking about how to study the word more effectively. And I'm going to give you a lot of different tools. Now, I thought I'd ask a question to start off. Why would we not study the Bible when so many Bibles are more available to us today than ever before? It's like, I mean, we've got so many apps and phones. I read a thing that said there's over 3,000 translations of the Scripture now. And so it's unbelievable the amount of Bibles that are out there. And like, okay, let's just do this. How many Bibles do you have in your home? Just kind of, you know, you don't have to be exact. Like, how many Bibles would you say you have in your home? A dozen? About five? Who else? Six? Okay. Over 20? Yeah, Charles, she's got one for you. Just go ahead and get it. Okay. I probably got 75. Not trying to trump Nancy or anything, but I'm a preacher. It's kind of like a contractor. You ever know people that are really good at building stuff, they got tools, but they'll go, I need another one. I ain't got the right one, you know. And so I got all these different Bibles, but I just brought a few today, and I thought of one that I meant to bring to show you. And then, man, Donna, I mean, we might even have more than 75. We might have 100. But between my office and home, we've got a lot, and we've given away a ton. But what I want to say to you is, so with all the availability of the Scripture, why do people not read the Bible more when it's so accessible to us as Americans? Any thoughts? No idea. Okay, that's safe. Okay. Misbelief. Huh? Misbelief, unbelief. Okay. That was the answer I was going to give. It's like, they just think it's too complex, it's too difficult, so why read it? What's another one? Yeah, they get trapped by demands of life. All right, here's one. Nobody said it, but I think it's a key. I think a lot of times the devil distracts us. How many believe we're in spiritual war? So he distracts us from getting to God's word and the complexities. Or here's another reason a lot of people don't read. It's because they say, I don't know how to study the Bible. It's what Michelle said. It's got too many intricacies. It just seems so overwhelming. I just can't understand it. And that's why we have church and we have teachers and you have all these different things. So today I'm just going to try to walk through some things to try to aid you in your support of grasping the Word of God. So I think that'll help. Like, all right, here, I'm going to start with this one. Some people, they have different approaches. Like a lot of people, when they first come to Christ, they go, okay, I've just come to Christ, so I'm probably going to turn to Genesis because it's the beginning. And they go, man, this is awesome about creation and everything, and you learn about the garden and everything. Like, actually, I read Genesis, and then you're feeling good about that, and then you go over to Exodus, and then you get to this little book called Leviticus. What's that doing for you? You know, you're a new Christian, maybe you're an old Christian, and you get there and you get stuck in the dietetical code and blah, 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 and you just go, man, I don't know, and you give up. So then some people, they have this approach. They get their Bible and they turn it and they go, wherever my finger lands. They go, that's it. Well, here's one. Like, let's say your finger fell on Ezekiel 4:12. And thou shalt eat it as barley cakes, and thou shalt bake it with dung that cometh out of man in their sight. That is like, whoa, I'm not going to do that one. So you go, let me try again. You know, and if you just went through the Bible just kind of doing it haphazardly, you probably wouldn't have a lot of growth, would you? So I want us to get started. And so some of you are already avid students of the Word, and you spend a lot of time in the Word a day or weekly, you know. Or maybe you're saying, Keith, I struggle to get 5 or 10 minutes. And I'm not here to put shame. I'm just trying to encourage and inspire and try to motivate you that, Lord, would you make us intentional people that would begin to dig on the passages of Scripture, because we believe they're the words of life. How many believe God's Word is the words of life? They're words of eternal life. They're words of life for this life. So I talked a lot last week to talk about a place and a time, and I talked about making an appointment. Just write that in a side margin. Make sure you're making an appointment with God. How many of you go to the doctor, and have you noticed in the last 10, 15, 20 years, you make an appointment with a doctor, and they send you all these, used to send phone calls, now they send you texts. And what does the text say? Please press C to, you've been there, have you? I do it all the time. I got a dental appointment this week. I got to have a crown. And it's not one of my crowns of glory. This is a crown in my mouth. Okay. And you press C because basically it costs them money if you're not there. They won't know if you're coming. So, you know, people are always making appointments, and it's nice to have appointments. And we make appointments. You go to get your car fixed. You call ahead. You ladies, you go to do something with your hair. Do you just show up randomly? Well, some of you might, but it would be better if you made an appointment. So I'm thinking time with the Father goes better if we make an appointment with Him. All right, so let's keep going. So let me give you some tools here real quick. I think this is really, really helpful. Number one, use your Bible. Duh. I mean, that is like essential. That is like Christianity 101. You just use the Bible. And I would submit to you, it's best to use a Bible at least a year at a time. Over the years, I've exclusively memorized out of the NIV. But I read NIV and NLT more than I do any other. But I read lots of translations, and I study Greek and Hebrew and all that stuff. But what I'm trying to tell you is I found that if you find one Bible, or maybe you read it for a few years, when you read it, what happens? What happens when you become familiar with something? You tend to be able to find it. It's like an old friend. How many of you like your Bible and you feel lost when you don't have your Bible? I mean, I got to tell you, when I'm looking at a brand new Bible versus one that I've been spending time in, the pages stick together. You can't seem to find stuff. It just feels different. And I don't know about you. I like to write my Bibles. So this right here is one of my very first study Bibles. It's a Thompson Chain Reference, and it was worn out, and I had to get it rebound. And right now, I don't like it near as much anymore because it's extremely stiff. But it has all these notes, and it has markings over my pilgrimage as a Christian. So I encourage you to find a Bible and to consistently mark through it that you can find. And also just to kind of write notes and little, like, things have really changed in 2024. But I can remember all the years that Don and I have been married, and we've been in church, and we've been in ministry, and we've been a part of churches, and I wasn't the senior pastor to 28 years ago, and all these notes I have, and I like going there because I can go back to a place in time, or I remember when God spoke to me, or like when I'm reading my Bible, sometimes I just write a couple words. How many of you write in your Bibles? Can I just encourage you today, it is not a sin like your grandmama told you to write in your Bible. You can mark up the Word of God. Matter of fact, I can build a pretty good case why I think it's good to wear out your Bibles and to write and to mark. And we'll keep going. All right. So here, B, use a good translation. Now, a lot of people get hung up on translation, and there's camps today, and it's a very accurate scripture. It's called the ESV, English Standard Version, and a lot of the Reform camp exclusively uses that, and a lot of other people use the ESV, and maybe you got ESV here. It's a great copy of the scriptures. And then, of course, I still ascribe to the 84 NIV because they've kind of changed some things in the later prints, but I like it. I like the NLT. You're saying, Keith, I like the New American Standard. Somebody will say, well, Pastor, I like the New King James Version. And man, that's a great version. And even if you said you like the old King James Version, I go, that's great. You love the Word of God. It's just a little archaic in the language. Because the King James Version, you know when it came out? What year? 1611 is when they're saying. 1600s, okay? And that's when it got, you know, transcribed, if you will. It got into the language of the vernacular today, and it became, so it is, I mean, it's still because the scripture is written in three languages. They are Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And then you have these translators that go and they take off on words, and some are more, they're better book by book. They're better for sections of verses. Some are better for just one verse at a time. So you can make all these different cases why this is a more accurate translation, and I'm not here to do that with you today. But I just say, find a good translation that you know you'll read, that you understand, and begin to read. And the church said, good word. All right. Here, I brought another thing. I want you to write down the word CBD. Now, you know what that stands for? Christian Book Distributors. Don and I have been a part of this for, oh, wow. Just look down here. You know, I didn't realize this. It started when we did. 45 years on the front of this thing. I know I've been using it forever. I've spent thousands of dollars with this group. And this is a great tool. You can go online. You can see their catalogs. If you buy something, they'll start sending their catalog because they know how to get your attention. And it sends all these products and books and goodbyes and stuff. But one thing is they have a whole section in there on study Bibles. And a lot of times their prices are better than others, so I encourage you to go there. Donna just introduced me to a great site just on Friday, and it's called, what's that, the cheap thriftbook.com. And you can get some really good buys in there, and they can help you find maybe a commentary or something that's a little obscure that you're looking for. Okay, so I just wanted to give that to you. There's a lot of different tools there. All right, so let's keep going through this because I got a lot I want to care. All right, so here's what I'd say. Choose a time, choose a place, get a plan, and then I would say this to you. Read with a what? A pen. And let me tell you something I found. I've got more Bibles that have bleed through because I highlight. You look at my Bibles, and on this side it's the truth, and on the back side it's it, and then I'm marking on the other side, and it's all this bleed through. But I love highlighters, and see, I brought one. And I'm not, you know, I like all colors. How many like all colors? I just like to mark up my Bibles, okay? But this is a new tool that I just started using. Oh, this right here could change your life. Now, come back next Sunday. No, here it is. It's called MicroLine. How many of you ever had these pens before? You can use these pens when you're reading the scripture, and it doesn't bleed through on the other side when you underline, when you draw little boxes, draw little symbols, you make little notes, and they're there. And they come in a variety of colors, and I just find that these are really good tools. So the whole thing is, hey, get a journal, get some paper, whatever, get ready to write. Maybe you're taking copious notes. Maybe you're not. But read with a pen, and the church said. I mean, how many of you feel like you get an insight, a revelation from God, and by the time you get back to the couch, you forgot what you read? Church, if we're getting older, how many of you feel like your memory's not as sharp as it used to be? Okay. That's another good reason to take notes and to write in your margin. But even when I was young, I found there's something powerful about God impressed something on my heart. He showed me something I'd never seen. I was in a Bible study. I was in a message, and I heard something. I studied something. I'm like, oh, I need to remember that. So a pen. Hey, is this helpful, church? Just trying to get us to be students of God's word, and these are just simple tools. All right, now let's look at this next thing. Somebody said, oh, my goodness, you've got so many notes. I do, but I want to pack this with a lot of practical tools. All right, a four-step approach to Bible study. Are you ready for this? Read the Bible in context. How many think you can take the Bible out of context? It's called a pretext. You can take any verses out of context, and you can almost twist scripture to say what you want it to say, and a lot of people do that. So we need to read stuff in context. If you just read part of somebody's letter and you don't, or you just hear part of their conversation, has anybody ever had some misinformation that you then went and relayed because you didn't read the rest of this thing or you didn't hear the rest of the story? You got to read scripture in context. You got to read the verses before. You got to read the verses after. Maybe you got to read the whole chapter. Maybe you got to read the whole book that book, that epistle, that whole book of the Bible, and it has a flow, and it's just important that we read in context, because the Bible is situated within the context of that book, and so you look before and after, and you just have a lot better understanding as you work through the Word of God. All right, let me show you the second one. I think this is important. Grasp the main point. How many believe that when you're reading Scripture, there can be a main point, and there will be. Sometimes it's so obvious, it just jumps out at you. Other times you have to dig a little more, but there's the main point. And you're like, God, what's the gist? God, what's the net of what you're trying to say here? God, I want to get big picture. And a lot of times you got these little headings in your Bible. How many like those little headings in your sections of your Bible? Man, those are good. And those kind of are a great cheat for you. But then as you read a section, you say, God, what's the main point here? Lord, what is it you're trying to say to me through the living, active? Did you know this book right here is different than any other book you'll ever read? Different than any science book, math book, engineering book, medical book. You know why? This book is living, active, sharper than a double, two-sided sword. And God's Word wants to read us coming and going. So God, help us to get a tool just to develop and to really get Scripture in context, and we flow within this. We get the main point. So our goal is to really kind of restate the author, written by over 40-something people over 1,500-year period the Bible was, and you're like, God, it's all inspired by the Holy Spirit. God, help me to get the main point. Help me to see what you're trying to say. God, here's what you're saying. That's my point. And in that, I think it requires humility before the Lord. You say, God, speak. God, teach me. Show me what you want to say. All right, look at the third one. Identify the purpose. What's the purpose of this text? What's the purpose of this chapter? What's the purpose of this book? What's he trying to say? What's the author really trying to say to me? You know what I think? All Scripture is written to what? To bring about change, about stronger belief, about to convict us of our sin. It's to show us the error of our way. But there's purposes. And so as we read Scripture, we get more of the heart of God. We don't know the heart of God if we don't know the Scripture. So it's so important that we study and we're like, God, I want to be a person of the book. At the end of the day, you don't want to go, you know, in my lifetime, I read all these novels. And I'm not saying, I mean, there's some novels you don't need to be reading, but a lot of novels are good. And I think about Donna's sweet mom, man. We love Jan. She was so active in our church over the years till Jesus took her home. And she had this voracious appetite to read. She read all the time. And so it's kind of neat, you know. And her idea of a good time was going to the library. Man, she'd go there and just get books. You know, she'd love to read. Our grandkids, they love to read. Yet, honestly, I didn't hardly read a book before I got out of high school. And I took advanced English and everything else. I didn't like to read. And then the last 45 years, I read a lot of books. But and my wife reads more than I do. I mean, just reading. Because what happens when you read? What happens when you read? Somebody said, I went to sleep. Knowledge. You gain wisdom. You gain insight. You learn. What is a disciple of Jesus Christ? You know what the simple definition of a disciple is? I don't want you to ever forget this. A disciple is a learner. They're always learning. They're always growing. They're growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus that 1 Peter talks about. So God, Lord, help us to let the text lead us to praise. Help it lead us to a place of confession. Help us to lead us to a place that we will rest in your grace. And Lord, help me to move to a place that I rejoice in the promises that you make to us. So that's just some simple things about God's Word. And then the fourth one, this is the most critical. Anybody want to make a guess what this is? You got to make time. That's good. That's not the point I'm making, but I like that. That's good. You have to make application. You have to apply the Word to your life. Like, my goal is not to grow knowledgeable, headstrong, arrogant, pompous Christians. I want us to be knowledgeable and grow, but we want to make application to the Word of God. And all the church said, like, so Lord, help me to apply this passage. Holy Spirit, what are you leading me to do as a result of reading these Scriptures? And there's so many times, he makes it abundantly clear. So as we get there, then the next point I just make here is meditate on the verse or the verses that you've chosen to study. It's rudimentary. You begin to meditate. It's like the cow. You begin to chew on it over and over and over to where it becomes a part of you. It gets into you. You think of that verse over and over, and maybe you read it more than once. Maybe you read it two. How many have found that reading the same scripture over and over brings insight, illumination, and revelation? And like you didn't get it the first time. You didn't get it the second time. You're saying, well, I'm kind of a slow learner. Well, I'm in that camp, okay? And you go, after I read it, then the Holy Spirit begins to make it evident what he's saying to us. Like, here's what I think our God does today in 2024. Because we have accessibility to the Word, now he gives us podcasts and he gives us teachers. Have you ever been riding down the road and your favorite Bible teacher speaks on a subject? And then that weekend or the weekend before, I preached on that subject. And then you went to your small group, and your small group talked about that subject. And then one of your good friends talked to you about that subject. And then you went in a store, and that verse was in a frame. And then your kid or your grandkid said something about that verse. Have you ever stopped and think, Father, are you trying to say something to me? Yeah. Because it comes to you over and over. Is anybody in a slow camp? Yeah. And he just tries to, man, I just want to help you. I just want to give you. So here it is. Three ways to meditate. I want you to write down these words. This isn't in your notes. This is bonus material because you came. Three ways to meditate. Number one, emphasize words in the passage. I believe in every passage there are key words that literally jump off the page. I find by the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, there's words that come to life as I chew, as I reflect, as I meditate, as I ask God to show me. And I'm like, wow, I've read that verse 100 times. And today that word came to me. So you emphasize words, okay? And that's one good reason to read in different translations, because the words might be a little different and it speaks to you. I give you the second one. Paraphrase the passage into your own words, okay? Take that phrase and rephrase it in a way that you understand it. As the Holy Spirit leads you, I'm not saying you're rewriting the Bible, but you're saying this is what it says, and you're saying it back to the Lord. Man, that's powerful. And the third one is personalize the Word of God. That is a principle I learned years ago, and I found it to be incredibly powerful. Like, let me give you an example. Place your name in place of the name in there. Here'd be a good one. For God so loved, Keith Waldrop that he gave his only begotten son. So you put your name there. For God so loved, whoever you are, fill in the blank, and you begin to read scripture. I can, Keith can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. And you just begin to say, God, I want to personalize your word. How many think that's a healthy, holy habit to personalize the word of God? Because the word of God is written about God. It's for God's glory. But it speaks to our hearts. And so, God, we need insight here. We need to see. I'm going to give you this. I didn't put all these on the outline, or I'd have had multiple pages. But this is kind of a funny thing. As I was studying, I remember finding this years ago, and I went back to it. This is a little acrostic. Gabby, you're going to like this one. This makes me think of you. The word space pets. How many want to go to space? Yeah, okay, I'm going to go to space. How many like pets? How many like the two of them? I like to send my dog to space. Okay, or whatever. All right. I've had a few dogs, like when I'm sleeping and the dog wakes me up, I'm like, I want to send you to space right now, okay, like get you out of our neighborhood. All right, so here it is. The S stands for, write it down, space pets, P-E-T-S. All right. The S stands for, is there a sin to confess? God, is there a sin by reading the scripture that you're calling me to confess? All right. The P stands for, is there a promise to claim? God, is there a promise for me to claim? The A stands for, is there an attitude to change? How many of you have found out that a lot of times there's a crossroad between your attitude and the attitude of Christ Jesus? So sometimes he gives us an attitude to change. The C stands for, is there a command in the scripture for me to obey? I've read this section, I've read this passage, and God is directing me to obey a command. And the E stands for, now, is there an example by what I read to follow? Like, sometimes we read in Scripture, and they're not the examples we want to follow. They were in error. They were in sin. Other times you're reading, like, that's what I want to be like. I'm going to show you a powerful one today from the book of Philemon. That's space. Now, let's do pets real quick. P, is there a prayer to pray? God, is there a prayer that I need to pray as a result of reading the Scripture that you're broadening my prayer life? The E is, this is important, is there an error to avoid? God, I see the sin. I see the error of my way. Help me to avoid that in the future that I don't run off the rails. And the T is simply stands for, is there a truth to believe? Is there a truth to grasp? Is there a truth to embrace? And then S is there something, I love this one, is there something to praise God for? Is there something that I just read in the Word of God that wants my heart to give praise to the one that is worthy to magnify the name of Jesus? So space pets. I just think it's a great way to look at the Word of God, and we maybe begin to pray that passage back to God. I hope some of these almost sound too simple, but they're just great approaches to reading through God's Word and saying, God, I do want to be a student. I do want to know your Word, but I want to know you. And the Word was given so we might know God and know him in an intimate manner. Okay, so this personal translation, writing out the application we find, memorizing verses. And here's the ultimate test of personal application. There's one personal application that's so critical. Are you ready for this? And here's the application. As a result of all these things Pastor Keith's talking about, does it help me become more like Jesus? Does it help me become like Christ? And if you go, it does, then that is a good habit to stay at, to stay with, to invite your friend to join you in. I found that it's good to have accountability partners too sometimes, that they can help you stay on track. Have you ever got behind on a reading plan, on a study plan, and a Bible study you were working through? And what's the first inclination when you get behind? Quit. Hang it up. Stop. And then the devil comes in and says, you're a loser. And I mean, has Satan ever said anything nice to you? Yeah, I mean, and he just is there to just pick, and take you apart. And yet another brother or sister might say, you know, I know you're not very consistent, but let me encourage you. I'll be praying for you to be more disciplined in your time with the Lord. Hey, maybe once a week we could talk about what maybe highlights that we read this week. I don't know. There's so many applications to this, but we just make applications to studying the Word of God. So I'll get into this in a minute. We could have a seminar in here. All right, five different ways to approach the Bible. Let's do this real quick. Number one, you can start with a book of the Bible. That's a great way to approach the Bible. God, I'm going to tackle this book. Now, I think reading the Bible in a year is a great plan. I think reading the New Testament in 90 days or in 6 months is good. I think reading different epistles is a great way. But one great way is just, hey, I'm going to pick a book, and I'm going to read it really slow because I'm looking for application, and I want to apply this, and I'm asking God to speak through the book of Philippians, through Ephesians, through Amos, through Esther, whatever the book. You pick the book, man. It's between you and the Holy Spirit. I always tell people, I told you I think this last week or the week before, I always tell people if they're new Christians, start reading the book of John because you learn about the life of Jesus. You say, well, Keith, I want to read Mark. Man, Mark's great. You say, well, I want to read Luke or Matthew. I don't care which gospel you read. Just read a gospel, and the church said amen. All right? I would say read the book of Proverbs and James if you need to learn about how to manage your tongue and money. You're saying, I'm just going to do a study on those books. Here's another one. You're hurting and you're confused, and you need comfort. What book would you say? I'd say this is where you need to spend time. You need to study God's Word, read God's Word, and hunker down. The book of Psalms. You're hurting. You're downtrodden. You feel like you're alone. You're lamenting. You're crying. You're broken. The Psalms. You're happy. You're rejoicing. You're full of faith. Psalms is a great book. Here's another one. You're saying, well, Pastor, I want something deep. I want great theological roots. And I would say, all right, read the book of Romans. Wear it out. Tear yourself up, right, Dan? Go after the book of Romans. And I've taught you through the book of Romans. What a great book, probably one of the greatest writings. And you can learn about sin and forgiveness and grace and repentance and just truths after truths that we could talk about till 12 o'clock, but we won't. All right, look at the second one. You can study a person in the Bible. Maybe you say, I want to read about Peter. Hey, how many of you are mess ups? Don't raise your hands. That's a great guy to study, Peter. Or you're saying, I want to study about Ruth. I want to study about Esther. I want to study about Elijah. I want to study about Paul. I don't know. Pick a person. All right, third, you can study a topic in the Bible. Here's one of the number one issues since COVID. What do you think it is? People talk about this all the time. Preachers are preaching about it. I've talked about it some. Books have been released in the last 5 years. It's one of the key issues in 2024. And God's Word addresses it. You know what it's called? Mental health. And God's Word will lead us to places that we can get understanding. And about God talks about health and anxiety and peace. Do you know anybody who struggles with anxiety? Maybe you struggle with anxiety. God's Word has scriptures that address that. All right, look at the fourth one. You can do a daily devotional, a YouVersion Bible plan. I talked about that a lot last weekend, but there's just different plans to study the Word of God, saying, God, I want to get into a systematic way of trying to work through this, and this helps me, but get a plan. Or fifth, you could just read through the whole Bible, and then that is a noble, high goal. And I love those plans, and there's a sense of accomplishment. But I find the years that I just go, I'm going to read through the Bible this year, and the time I almost hurt myself was when I decided to read the Bible in 90 days. That was not very pretty. And because I got in this competition, and it was speed reading, and I really didn't get a lot out of it. And so then I went to a season, I tried to see how slow I could read the Bible for content, for application, and that was powerful. And so, you know, you just have different, how many think you have different seasons in your spiritual life? How many of y'all eat different foods in different seasons? Like, no, Pastor, I eat the same thing every day. Peanut butter, jelly, peanut butter and honey, and bananas. And I eat oatmeal for breakfast. And I go, oh, man, y'all maybe branch out a little bit, okay? But, you probably do. All right, I kept studying this. I've got all this stuff. I've got this whole teaching on Philemon. Maybe I'll come back next week and maybe even do something on that. But here's what I want to give you right now. There's this Bible study leader that I think we introduced to you years ago, and Debbie's come back and used some of her stuff, and she's an amazing Bible teacher. Her dad is off the chart Bible teacher and preacher, and she's now become a big celebrity. But I saw a thing the other day. She goes, "All I do, I just want to point to Jesus." I went, "I like this woman," and she is consumed with the Word of God. Her name is Priscilla Schreier. You know, Tony Evans' daughter, her and Jerry, and she did this thing with 5 P's of the Bible, and I just thought, man, I got to give this to you so you can just write this in. It's not in your notes, but it's too good to pass up today. Number one, position yourself to hear from God. You're studying the Bible. You're sitting with your Bible. Position yourself. Find a good space. Find a quiet place. Carve out the roadblocks, because God wants us to posture our hearts to hear from Him. Have you found sometimes it's work to hear from God? I do. I think it's work. You know why I think it's work? Because there's so many competing voices. There's so much white noise out there. How many of you think we live in a noisy, noisy, chaotic universe? Yeah. So you have to, it's like, God, help me to carve out space to hear your voice, to position myself. So in Habakkuk 1, he talks about climbing up the tower to get above the fray, above the chaos of the day, to see with a new vantage point. And he climbs up for silence and solitude. And here's my principle. Position yourself for solitude with the Almighty. And God speaks. God speaks in the storm and in the earthquake, but He loves to speak in the whisper. Our God whispers. He speaks quietly. He's also sounds of thunder. God can go any volume, anytime He wants to, but many times He refrains and chooses to speak to a person that's quiet. And in our quietness, the scripture says there's confidence and strength. How many believe that? Do you believe that today? There's confidence in the quietness of being with Christ. So, all right, so I want to give that one to you. Here's a place to find that. Go sit on the edge of your tub. Go sit in the closet. Go get in your car and turn the radio off when you're riding down the road. Do y'all ever do that when you're riding down the road and you got your music blaring? And I love blaring music, but there's times I just have to turn it all off. Like, I know that I don't know what it is, but my brain, I'm riding down the road and I get in a big storm. I cut off everything. And I white knuckle at 10 and 2 o'clock, like my driver's ed teacher said, and I get focused on the road. How many do that? Because I need to be fully focused, not distracted. Well, when you get in your car and you got your music and you're singing and you're chanting, you know, I mean, and you got your praise on, man, I love that. But how many know there are times that the Lord's just saying, come still away with me. I want to speak to you today. Many times I'll hear a song on K-Love, and when I'm by myself, and I turn the radio off after that song. You know why? I feel like God's impressing something on my heart. He might want to say something. But if I don't obey him, and I just go into the next song, I forget maybe of being still and being quiet. Does anybody know what I'm talking about now? And there's something about quietness that's powerful for our soul. Number two, pour over the passage and paraphrase the principles, okay? Pour it over. Read it once. Read it twice. Read it three times. Read it in different translations. But pour over it. Read it again and again. And out of again and again and repetition, there grows friendship. Isn't that what a friendship is? You repeatedly spend time with a person. How about spending it with a person of God? The Lord Jesus. How about spending it with Jesus? How about spending it with the Holy Spirit? All right, number three, pull out spiritual principles as you read the Word of God. That's basically God illuminate the Scriptures, God. Give revelation, give directives. God, show me what only you can do. Number four, pose questions when you sit with God. Pose questions. Ask God. God, is this congruent? Is my life congruent with the scripture I just read, with the principle that was just implied? On and on, it's just, God, help me to pose questions to ask you who, what, when, where. You know the best question that I found to ask God? No, let me start it this way. The worst question I found to ask God is why. Do I have anybody affirming that? God's not really into the why question. Read Habakkuk and other books. Because his ways are higher than ours. But God loves the what question. What are you doing? What are you trying to say? How may I glorify your name? And so, Lord, we want to pose questions. And fifth, we want to plan obedience into what God said. If God's saying something, then we want to embrace it. We want to lean into it. So it's just so powerful here as we get into the Word of God. All right, let's see what else we got here. I got so much I want to share with you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to jump down to this section because I think I might come back on this Philemon thing next week. All right, number, I'm going to get you to look at the spec model. I know I'm giving you a lot of acrostics, but I think they're full of truth and they're full of great teaching over the years that I've read and studied and been a part of and tried to apply in my life, and I think maybe they'll. So we'll just call this the spec model. We'll just call it time with God, okay? All right, here it is, number one. The S. We're going to spell the word spec. S-P-E-C. K? Thank you. Okay. K. All right. All right. We're going to be having a literary reading this afternoon at 2 o'clock. No, all right. Spec. Okay. All right. Number one, is there a sin to be avoided? Back to that one. That's a great question I always ask. God, by reading Scripture, by studying the Word of God, is there a sin you're trying to get me to escape, to look for a way of escape, to turn from, to not embrace, to not enter in, to not participate in? God, give me a sin, or don't give me a sin, but show me, don't give me a sin. Show me the sin to avoid in my life that I can bring honor to you, okay? So we look at this spec model, and I just go, God, all right, so 1 John says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he'll do what? And he'll forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So God, when I do sin, I do have an advocate with the Father, and it's Jesus, but help me avoid sin. All right, let's look at the next one. Is there a promise to be claimed? You've probably seen them. The Bible promises their books, and they're exclusively, all they have is, and I've got them, I used to have a stack of them. I don't know where they are in the move, but they're by, and you can go probably go to this CBD and you can find Bible promises, or maybe you just read through the Bible this year and go, I'm looking for the promises of God, and I'm gonna underline those in one certain color or highlight them with my Bible, and I'm gonna claim the promises of God. You can't claim the promises if you don't know the promises, and to know the promises, you have to do what? Read the Word. Or be taught the Word, and do both. That's what I encourage. So a promise to be claimed. So God, help me to find a promise that you want me to claim. Because listen to what 2 Peter 1:3 through 4 says. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises. Circle that if you when you go back to read this verse in 2 Peter. Promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So God, I want a promise from you, and when I find a promise, I want to own it. I want to claim it. I want to walk in it. I want to be victorious. So there's a sin to be avoided, there's a promise to be claimed, and is there an example to follow? There's always examples in God's Word. And God says, I want you to be not mere doers, but in James, he says, but I want you to be hearers of the Word. Or not just mere hearers, but I want you to be, I got it reversed. I don't want you to be mere hearers. I want you to be doers. I want you to apply. I want you to do that which I've given you. This is a command from Holy Scripture. James 1:22 through 25. Just write it down. That's the reference. James 1:22 through 25. All right, let's move to this one. Then the K. Oh, is there a command? Is there a command to obey? That would really help. I can't even spell. I was picking on y'all, and I'm like, hey, that probably wouldn't work. Okay, all right. Is there a command for us to obey? I think I've nailed that out. And then is there something to know about God? See, that's what the Word is for, that we might know him in his heart, in his love, in his grace, in his standard, in his judgment, in his righteousness, in his plan, and its provision, and its power. And I could go on and on about what God's Word is. It's just for us to know him, to run after him, to know the beauty, the reality of Christ. But, you know, a lot of times we're not really interested in who God is. We just want, God, give me an answer. Do this for me, God. But God wants us to worship him. He's above all others. He's worthy. You know, when we do that song with Linda here, is he worthy? He is. So this morning, I hope that in this, and I could come back on and on, but I'm going to say this last thing to you, and we're going to pray. Two things will live forever. You know what they are? Two things are going to live forever. What do you think it is? Number one, it's what I've been talking about all morning, all series. It's the Word of God. God's Word is eternal, and it will live forever. And there's only one other thing that I've ever discovered that lives forever. And it's the thing that I've given my life to. The souls of people. The Word of God and souls of people. Our souls live forever. Whether we're a Christian or a non-Christian, they live forever. Now, they're tormented forever in a place called hell if we don't know Jesus. But when we know the living Christ, isn't it great, Pat? Amen. We live forever and ever and ever and ever and a day. I don't know why I added a day. I mean, forever and ever is forever. It's eternal. And that's God's Word this morning. And I love what Scripture. Hey, call up that verse there in Isaiah. Will you give that to me? There's a passage there in Isaiah 53. You see it? Is it not on there? Is it not on the screen? Well, maybe I didn't put it on there. Oh, did I print it in there? Yeah, there it is. I'm sorry about that. I was just kidding, Melinda. You did a great job. I had Melinda back there, man. She's like, man, where is it? I don't know. I hear you. Look right there with me. Hey, read this with me quickly. Surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering, yet we considered him to be punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought his peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Is that good news or what? And this morning, I just wanted to bring it to an end of kind of ending on that verse. This is kind of the story of the Easter season. Christ was crushed for us that we might live forever.